Is this the what you teased me with? The worst song of 2025?
No, no. This is Ja Rule. He'll be at Darien Lake August 1st. I can't wait. So will I. And I'm excited.
You're excited to hear this?
Ja Rule and Nelly? Oh, come on, Brian.
All right.
Going back over 20 years.
It's Brian Mazeroski and Joe Beamer on WBEN, and thanks for hanging out with us. JJ Paterka can kick rocks for all I care.
Yeah, you know, I'm seeing mixed reactions on social media.
You're seeing mixed?
I'm seeing mixed.
Am I the only mix?
Yeah.
Because I see everyone complain like one way.
Yes, everyone's complaining, and then I see yours pop up.
It must stink to be the Sabres. I will say that.
Sure it is. They can't do it. They can't put out a video promoting the draft without people crapping all over it.
You can't do anything right. Now, again, it's deserved.
Yeah.
Right? Like all the criticism and everything, like, you don't deserve the benefit of the doubt. Like, you have an NHL record 14-year playoff drought going on. You stink. But at the same time, I do kind of feel for them because they can't do anything. I was saying earlier this morning, I mean, they could have traded J.J. Paterka for Sidney Crosby, and everyone would have been like, this guy's an idiot. Sidney Crosby is old. He is nothing. You know, like, they could have done anything like that, and it just would not have.
By the way, the Bills went through this exact same thing in their drought.
Yeah.
You know, everyone called out everything the Bills did.
You don't deserve, or you haven't earned the benefit of the doubt, so it's going to happen. That being said, I think it is a little ridiculous the way that some people have reacted to this this morning.
I thought it was expected that Paterka was going to get traded on trade deadline day. Like, I heard that name floated around, the lead up to the
started
trade
to
deadline.
Be floated around the deadline, but everyone's kind of been expecting it over the last month that he was going to be out the door. I mean, listen, he was apparently not happy here, didn't like it in Buffalo, didn't want to re-sign.
Get out.
Yeah, you're not that good of a player for me to keep you around. You have some value. All right, we got two pretty nice players in return.
Yeah, hope he likes Salt Lake City.
Yeah, that's not like the...
I know.
You say it like, hope you say it like, we're sending him to Alaska or something. Hope you like Salt Lake City, like a lot of people do.
I've heard. I've never been. Utah is a state not on my checked off list yet.
It's I think he's getting people vacation there.
To Salt Lake City?
Yeah. Areas around Utah? Beautiful.
The Winter Olympics are returning there.
More so than they vacate, you might be surprised, more so than people vacation to Buffalo, New York, Joe.
Well, I mean, you could say that about Erie, Pennsylvania, I believe you.
I mean, for as much propaganda as we put out there of how many people are enjoying their vacations to Buffalo, which, I mean, if anyone earns his paycheck, Patrick Kaler is doing great work getting us into every single publication where these people tell you that they had a great time on their vacation to Buffalo. And I appreciate it. But, yeah.
I always cheer on Buffalo. But yeah, no, I do not find that hard to believe.
I got
to
defend the Sabres here. All these people who loved J.J. Paterka, where were they? I mean, literally, where were they? If you loved him so much, buy a ticket to watch him play. No one did.
Brian was
there. I was sitting next to a bunch of empty seats all year.
Yeah.
If he was so good, he would have been worth the price of admission, which wasn't that much.
No.
Where was everybody? I don't know. The German guy, we just built him a German restaurant. He was unhappy?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure there's German restaurants in Salt Lake City.
I don't know if there is. Salt Lake City doesn't strike me as a beer garden place.
It's an up-and-coming metropolis.
It's like a milk and soda type of place. It's the Mormon thing going on.
And you have to share the arena with the Jazz. Just saying.
Okay.
Here, you only had to share it with the Bandits half the season.
Okay.
You got to share the arena with the Jazz.
I just think they are getting, look. I too think it's amazing the general manager is still the general manager. Nothing is lost on me of the 14-year playoff drought.
Is he the general manager in name only with all the additions they made?
I don't think so.
No.
The additions they made, the guy works out of Columbus. He's a remote. I mean, how much influence can you have? You're not in the building. You don't even live here.
Yeah.
You're in a different state.
What good is working in the building working out, though?
Well, but, I mean, you can't tell everybody, oh, yeah, this guy's... He's a really vital part of our information.
He'll be zooming in on Wednesdays.
Right, like it's we found out earlier this week, he works like, you ever see those masterclass things, those ads? Like Amy Poehler will teach you about comedy. We basically hired like the masterclass of a GM. Jarmo Kekalainen will like log on. He'll give you a course on how to make a trade or something. Look, everyone wants to kill the Sabres. I feel like I'm the person who has to stand up for them. I like these guys. It's exactly what we needed.
Both of them?
Yeah. Both of them. Yeah. Absolutely. Don't need another guy who's just floating around. Oh, he scored a bunch of goals at the end of the year when they were already out of it.
Yeah.
Easy to score when there's no pressure, no expectation.
Stack the numbers.
$8 million they're going to pay him.
Have fun.
Oof. That's a big big price tag. I don't know. So, just sticking up for the Sabres.
While we're talking hockey, though, have you ever seen a least impressive logo revealed than the St. Louis Blues?
A less impressive?
Yeah, it looks the exact same.
Yeah. It's different. It's like a different shade of blue. It's more of a new uniform than it is a new logo.
Okay. Yeah. I just was like, this is nothing.
They tweaked the logo a little bit, and it's the Bruins just did the same thing. Tweak the logo a little bit, new uniform. That looks like they're like Cam Neely uniforms. Okay. And the Blues' new uniforms look like whatever they used to wear in like the 70s or something like that, before the 90s. A little bit of a lighter blue. I like them. I like both of them. I think they look sharp.
I thought they were going to change the note. I was like, this is crazy.
You can't do that.
No, I know that.
It's one of the great logos.
Yeah.
Same with the Bruins. Like, oh, we're changing the logo, but like, not really.
I've seen teams move away from a great logo.
Sabres.
Yeah, that's exactly.
they've done. But now everyone wants the one that everyone made fun of.
Who?
You hear that all the time.
Oh,
black and red full time. People our age.
Oh, black and red. Yeah. I thought you meant the slug.
Oh, that too.
Oh, that's crazy.
But the black and red logo compared to the good Sabres logo stinks.
It does, but it's got that nostalgic feeling.
Right. You know when it didn't have the nostalgic feeling? When it was just revealed. Everyone's true. Looking at it like, what the heck is this?
Well, they needed a new logo to go into the new arena.
Yeah. This is what they're coasting on. People texting in, I bet JJ turns into a superstar once he leaves Buffalo. We should almost trade the entire team because everyone has that attitude.
Exactly.
I get it. It's a normal response. You just watch Sam Reinhart score 4 goals in Game 6 of the Cup Final. You know, win the cup for the second straight year. The year before it was Jack Eichel. Like, it's not lost on me where all of this negativity this idea comes from, but I just like not everybody is those two players. By the both number 2 overall draft picks who were always going to be stars. They were stars here. Paterka's, he scores some goals. That's nice. That's nice. Everyone last year when they hired Lindy Ruff pointed to one player. As like, this guy might have some issues when Lindy Ruff comes in and makes everyone play a two-way game. Everyone pointed to J.J. Paterka. And guess what? He did have some issues. Because I guess he didn't want to play a two-way game. He was grumpy.
Yeah.
Everyone noticed it. He was asked about it after the year. Like, hey, how come you never look happy? Or winning, you score a goal. You always look like you hate life. Oh, yeah, I got to work on that. Well, okay, you know, work on it somewhere else. We'll help you. Maybe we're just doing our part to make people a little happier. So you want people to come to America and be happy with their life. That's what we're doing for J.J. Paterka.
That's the goal. That's the goal. I did forget about the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. That does put them on the map.
Someone
texted that in.
Is that a show, Real Housewives of Salt Lake City?
Yes, yeah. That's one
There's a different show. There's a Mormon show that my wife watches. And it's all like the Mormon wives.
In Salt Lake City or somewhere in Utah?
Yeah, somewhere in Utah.
Yeah.
I'm assuming they're near
Provo.
Salt Lake City. And it's like, you know, it's my remedial understanding of geography once you get like past St. Louis.
Yeah, it's like when you talk to people that don't live in New York City, in New York. How many times you get to New York City a year?
Yeah.
It's 6.5 hours away. What are you talking about?
All the Europeans, when they come to America on vacation, like, could we drive to San Francisco today? I mean, you could start your drive to San Francisco
sure
today.
Could.
Absolutely. Won't get there for a couple, but okay. That's Utah. It's like the big place.
I didn't hear of the Mormon live show.
It's the new hot thing. It's what they do now on TV.
Is that also on Bravo?
No, it was on Hulu.
Okay.
And I don't know what network it's on, but it, you know, they do well streaming and then they put them on TV.
Yeah.
It's like they take whatever's your best performing streaming show. Now we're going to take this.
It sounds like a TLC
run it
show.
Through the editors and put it on TV.
Yeah. It sounds like a TLC show.
You know what? It must be on ABC.
Oh, okay.
Because we have that on in here, and that's the only reason I know it's on TV.
They have the wives on there?
Yeah. It's the commercials running like, hey, from Hulu to what you're watching right now.
TLC's got great reality shows. You know, they have My 600 Pound Life, which has gone on forever now. And they have this new show, Virgins, about virgins in their late 30s. These are the two reality shows that are on in the Beamer house.
Those sound... You are just like a connoisseur of crap.
Well, I feel like, and no offense to people who watch it. I mean, I watch it. I feel like in today, that is our trash TV. Like when we were growing up, it was the 90s, you know, Springer, Maury, Jesse. Now it's these shows. It's some of the Bravo shows. It's the TLC shows.
But it's lasted way too long. Like these shows have been, they started 20 years ago and they're still going on with
Springer was on for over 20 years.
But it was popular for
That's a good point. Yes. There was a peak of Springer.
There was a window there. And then he was on, but, you know, he was just on.
I mean, Steve's still on.
These things have been going on for forever.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But I say you're a connoisseur of junk because you played some terrible song.
Oh, yes. And, you know, I did an awful job of having it queued up. But Will Smith has a new song out. Did you know he was even... I don't know if you even knew he went away. But
I wouldn't know anything. I know he slapped a guy on stage.
Yes, and he kind of went away after that. And he's come back with new music because, you know, Will Smith started as an artist. I mean, he wasn't an actor at first. So he's got this new song out now. And, well, Brian, of course, I don't have it ready. So
all right, so sorry I brought it up.
That is just awful work on my part. It's Thursday, folks. Is that a good excuse?
Sorry I brought it up. Well, we'll go back to J.J. Paterka. So they trade him away. He's because he doesn't like it in Buffalo, right?
Right.
How, I mean, should that matter to you if you're running a team? Like, it isn't happy being here, doesn't really want to be here?
If it's bringing down the locker room, yes.
I think so, yeah. Right?
Like if you don't like being here. We have worked with people who clearly didn't want to be here. And you know how, I mean, it brings down...
Yeah.
It brings down the morale. I don't think it's any different on a sports team.
No. Is it different like in a place of work? Like when does it cross the line into a problem? Because it's a weird fine line, isn't it? Like, oh, how many people have gone into their job and said, I don't want to be here?
I'd say more than half the people say that every week.
I was going to say everybody. Everybody at one point in time.
Yeah. I'm saying there's over half that say that every week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody said that. And everybody to an extent, I think it's a slim, maybe I'm wrong on this.
Okay.
I don't think that there are a lot of people. It's definitely a minority. I would say it's a slim minority of people who would be working their jobs even if they didn't have to.
Oh, yeah. You know, Sandy Beach always talks about if you had that button next to your bed when you woke up and you could hit it, you wouldn't be, there's no consequence. You hit the button. How many people hit that button every day not to go to work? There's no consequence. You still get paid. You just don't show up. And you have this button next to your bed. How many times are you hitting that button? Right?
Every day. I might even hit it on the weekends just to make sure.
Make sure it still works. No, but that's true. However, I mean, I'm sure there are people in this building, I'm not going to say at Odyssey, but in this building who are miserable with their jobs, but no one in the office knows it. And that's the difference
Like, where does it cross the line of...
When you're talking to everybody about how you hate your job.
Is that it?
You can talk to your wife, you can talk to people in your family, your friends outside of work. When you're talking about it at work regularly, then you're bringing other people down.
When an insider reports in the media that you're unhappy at your job.
Yes, exactly.
That's when you know you've spread the word a little too much. Your attitude is kind of spread throughout the entire building.
Think about it. Right now, things are tense at the Pentagon because someone is leaking information, right? And it's like, okay, this is obviously someone who's unhappy with the current administration, unhappy with the way things are going. Who's that person? Because they're bringing everything down now.
Is it clear that the person's unhappy with the way? I mean, there's always
why would
been
you
people.
Leak that?
There's why would anybody leak anything? There's a leak in everywhere in Washington.
I would say that most of the leaks that happen, say it's the Biden administration or the Trump administration, are people who are holdovers, who were there from the last administration, who are unhappy with the way things are going.
You think?
Or unhappy with the administration.
Like
the Supreme Court leak. Remember the big Supreme Court leak when Chuck Schumer got out there and they were protesting the Supreme Court? I'm gonna guess that was from a staff member, from a judge who dissented the decision.
I think
the decision.
We found that out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like you're right, we did.
We found that one out. Like that. That's an example of that. But I also think that it's just like people sometimes are just friendly with reporters.
Yeah, you can only be so friendly.
They share information. I mean, that's what happens in these, for these sports teams. I mean, you got people who work for teams. Doesn't mean they hate the team or, you know, hate what's going on when they leak information out to all these people who report it. I imagine the same thing happens in whether you're in Washington or local government or anything like that.
I'd say politics are so dirty, though, that, I mean, there is a goal when you leak information. In my opinion, there's a goal that you would leak information. Like, you want something out of it.
You know what that something is, though? Like, I think for a lot of people, it's the culture now, Joe. The something is seeing what you told somebody on the news or in print or reported somewhere. Yeah. Like, that's, and then you go, like, oh, yeah, that's me. Like, yeah, like, you feel that information getting out there.
So kind of like
you feel important.
So it's like telephone on the school bus. You start at the back and you see.
No, it's like it makes you feel.
But you can't tell anyone.
More important. But no, I think it doesn't matter to a lot of people. People are saying it's like Diggs in Buffalo.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, there was a good player.
Did he purpose?
Diggs to the Bills better than J.J. Paterka for the Sabres.
Yeah. I mean.
More important.
I mean, Hasek purposely let that last goal in as a Sabre because he was unhappy in Buffalo.
That's a lie, okay, but...
You know, I've heard that my entire life.
From who?
That's what people were saying.
I've never heard that.
Sports talk radio, after that game, that whole summer, people were saying it's clear Dominic Hasek's unhappy here. He purposely let that goal in.
Well, he was unhappy or demanded a trade that summer and got traded.
Because he let the Darius Kasparaitis goal.
I don't think he purposefully let a goal in Game 7 of a playoff series in overtime.
He waited till Game 7, Brian, to let that goal in.
I don't think that was it. But there's a line where it goes from, you know, unhappy. It's different. You can bring other people, but you might never bring other people down. But if you're unhappy, like, you have to leave. You, like, on a personal level.
If your job is negatively impacting your life on a regular basis, then yeah, for your own health, you probably should look somewhere else.
Easier said than done.
Yeah. I mean, we're not on sports teams.
We're not
getting traded. If we're unhappy, we have to do the moving ourselves.
We're not saying we're not unhappy and immediately getting a $7 million raise.
No. If I said I was unhappy regularly, I would get a deduction. And that's my butt being kicked out in the road.
Boot.
Yeah.
BMaz and Beamer, we'll be back here on WBEN. It's Brian Mazurowski and Joe Beamer on WBEN. And we are going through all of it today, talking a little bit about the Sabres' big trade. I don't really want somebody who doesn't want to be here.
That goes for here, too. That goes for the station. Like, I don't want to work with people who don't want to be here.
I think people who vocally
show
their,
I mean,
and you know, you could see their displeasure all the time.
You might find this hard to believe. There are days where, you know, I'm not in the best mood, right? And you know, something's weighing on my mind. I try not to bring my coworkers down. You know, like today I had the strobe light going. I try to put everyone in a good mood. That's my.
You had the lights.
Yeah.
You had the rock show going on.
Yeah. I mean, you might not know this. I have not fully adjusted back to this shift, Brian, and I apologize for that. So I'm trying to still have that personality everyone's used to.
Pumping yourself with caffeine?
Yeah. I only had a half-calf coffee today. So.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
How about that?
We went the half-calf in the Beamer house, so.
I didn't even know that was a thing. I'm not a coffee drinker. I didn't know that was a thing.
No, you can buy the can of half-caffeinated.
Half caffeinated. Interesting.
It's good. You can have it late. You can have it in the afternoon and not feel like it's going to keep you up all night.
Okay.
But then, not to be confused, we have full calf pods. And my wife had a full calf pod on primary night, and she said that she wasn't asleep till almost 1. So
really,
yeah, that's the thing. If you want
is
to
it
have
a bad thing, I mean, one of these like energy drinks, it has like 2. It's like double caf.
Yeah,
I could take a nap.
Oh,
like an hour after drinking one.
I don't have the effects of caffeine at all. I mean, I that, think it wakes
bad
me up,
thing, right?
But I've had a Monster at 9 at night and gone to bed at 10.
Yeah, that can't be good.
No. We might have. What's the word when you...
We overdid it.
Yeah, our body has too much of a tolerance to it, so yeah. It doesn't react the way it should.
Whoops.
By the way, here's the song. David Bellavia played this a few weeks ago. It hit me then, but now I've heard it a few more times, and Will Smith did this live in the streets of London. This is the new hit. He's 56 years old, and he wants people to know.
I love pretty girls. Girls.
That's the new Will Smith song.
This is the new Will Smith song?
Yep, 56 years old.
So now here's the problem. You said this is the worst song of the year?
I think this might be the worst song of 25. No offense to Will Smith, because, I mean, I grew up with Parents Just Don't Understand. I mean, I had that album. I'm just saying this song is not a good look for the amazing discography that Will Smith has had up to this point.
So here's my problem. I hear that. And I would think, like, what's the difference between this and a good song that people like?
The comment that stuck with me on Twitter was, it's like your father just discovered TikTok and auto-tune at the same time.
Okay. That, to me, sounds just like all the crap that gets played that people say is awesome.
That's a good point. I don't listen to current music anymore. So that's a good point.
That could be you could tell me that's the worst song of the summer. I'd be like, yeah, okay, I would agree with you. But it also sounds like everything else and the 3 songs that people said were the best. So can I really say anything about it?
That's true. I he had so many good songs like Wild Wild West, Getting Jiggy With It, Miami, Switch. Right? Was it Switch? From the movie Hitch. He had some bangers, and like sometimes you just have to know when to hang it up.
I love this with older, like as artists get older, I've finally broken free from this. Because like most of my life, you have the bands who are your favorite.
Yeah.
And you love them. And you love, say they have like 2 or 3 albums out, like they're great and they're your absolute favorite. And then for most of my life, like that, okay, they're my favorite band. So then they come out with something new, and you almost felt like a pressure to like it.
Yes,
and because you have, and you don't want it to be. You want it to be good,
right?
They make some of your favorite music. You want all of it to be your favorite music, and so that even stuff that wasn't as good, it would come out, and you'd be like, yeah, like I still kind of like this. It's not as great as whatever, but I'll still buy it. And I'll still keep it in the rotation and want to listen to it and stuff like that. It took me a long time. It was only a few years ago. I finally broken free of that.
You don't fake like it?
It's not that I was fake liking it. It's that I tried to like it too much, I think. Where a band that I love would come out with something new, and it's okay if it just doesn't do it for you. Which is not to say that everything has to hit you immediately is awesome. Right off the bat, because that doesn't always happen. Like sometimes I give things like a few spins before it really hits you and, kind of you like it a lot.
Yeah.
But I no longer am like, oh, I have to stick up for this as much as that. Or it doesn't ruin the band for me. Like I don't go and now say, oh, they stink now.
Right.
They don't. They just came out with something, maybe changed their sound, maybe they didn't change their sound. They just came out with something that's different than the stuff that you like. Most, like, you look at a lot of great artists only came out with 1 really good album.
Of course.
And then they tried to follow it up with something and just, like, didn't work well. It's like, all right, you had 1 great album in you. Like, that's way better than most people.
That's right.
And it's okay that you only have this much stuff that you really like.
O-Town, their first album was great. Second one, kind of sucked.
I like how that's where you go to first.
The New Radicals, their new album, awesome. Second one, never happened.
Like, the Rolling Stones are considered one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time.
Yes.
I don't think anybody is like, the entire Rolling Stones discography
is
great.
There's an era that defined them.
Yeah. It's what sets the Beatles apart. Because aside from like the Yellow Submarine soundtrack, which, you know, is it a, you know, it's kind of an, kind of counts, kind of doesn't, depending on who you ask. But like aside from like that stuff, front to back, you know, within a decade, everything's awesome. But they're like the exception to the rule.
Right.
A lot of other the Rolling Stones, you know, all these other bands, they have long discographies. They're active for decades. They're not all going to be great. It's impossible to write everything as being
right.
just the best.
Not everyone can have Kokomo. Right? I mean, you're big 30 or 20 years earlier, and then you come back with Kokomo. Usually you come back 20, 25 years later. It's not going to hit.
And so, it doesn't mean they're cooked.
No, no.
Just they could come back. Like, it could just be a down one.
But I'm telling you this. The one trend that I don't like, and it's starting to peak its head again, that was big in the 90s, re-records. Right? Like, hey, we had this album 20 years ago. You saw that with that song.
No, yes, I'm with you.
Yeah. That, I can't stand re-records. Like, because I don't want it. And Taylor Swift just re-recorded her entire discography and then got the rights to her old stuff back. Hmm. So guess what?
Funny timing.
Yeah. So guess what? We don't ever have to pretend that the new stuff was good because her re-recording sucked.
Re-recording is always terrible. Which, there's a difference, Joe. I am a sucker. I hate re-recorded
yep.
records. And I hate when bands try and do it. The Dead Boys tried to do it. Young, Loud, and Snotty. Great. I mean, one of the all-time great punk records. And they re-recorded it. And it sounds like that absolute trash. Because it's got, you know, it's like they're running on like digital amps and like it's overproduced and it's terrible.
That's sad.
I mean, they ruined it.
Yeah.
A remaster, I'm a sucker for.
Or they touch it up digitally.
Yeah, or like they go back and do, I mean, the Johnny Thunders record, I think I own six different versions of it.
Wow.
It's the same thing, but it's just, oh, here's one. Here, we finally found the master tapes in someone's attic and we got this. Here's one where, you know, we went in and cleaned the mud off of it. Here's the one that, you know, David Bowie mixed. Like, here's the, you know, oh, all yeah. this different stuff. I'm a sucker for those.
Because it includes the original. Right, that's been touched up.
It's all the original. It's yep. just, all right, we figured out a way to do it better, or like we cleaned it up a little bit, or we made it so it sounds better on modern equipment.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm a sucker for that. Well, like when the Beatles re-released their albums all in stereo, you know, the first everything before Let It Be, I think everything except for the last two, I think we're all in mono. It was like listening to it again for the first time. Right. Especially you slap on a pair of headphones and something, you hear like, where's this stuff coming from? Oh, so good. I'm a sucker.
Yeah, and I also like a good live album. Now, there are some trash live albums, but I do like a good, the Goo Goo Dolls Downtown. That's a great live album. I think part plays because I was there, but that's a great live album.
Because it's a concert.
Yeah, I like a live concert album.
But does it hit you the same? I like a live concert. To listen to. I don't like live albums where a lot of them are, we take some songs from here. You know, it's recorded over like 3 nights.
No, I want the consistency of one show.
I want the whole show as yep. if I was there. But it's ruined now. Because you have like the services that put out like full concerts. Listening to a live album or like collection, it just doesn't do it for me. Yeah. If I can listen to Wilco, one of my favorite bands, they've been releasing, you know, collections of live tracks. And they're all great. They sound amazing. But they're, you know, individual tracks from shows. You can listen to them back to back to back and, you know, they're all live. But why would I do that when I can go and listen to an actual show?
Yeah.
From one night.
Yeah.
That's really cool. I like. Transport me to the place. I want to hear you make fun of some guy in the crowd in between songs. Like, I want all of it.
Speaking of concerts, are you the person that goes and looks at the set list before a show?
Sometimes.
Does this make sense? I don't want to be, but I've gotten to the habit where I will find myself doing it. Like I have no self-control.
Yeah, you have no self-control.
Yeah.
That does make sense. I don't... So I am more of a person like this. Like when I went to see Jack White a couple months ago, I saw it in part because I knew some of the set. I've been listening to some of the shows he had been doing on tour. Now, he famously doesn't make a set list. So, you know, there's stuff that gets played a few times over and over again. But I have been listening to what his shows on this tour have been sounding like and been like, oh, I got to go. I do like having a little bit of an idea of what the tour kind of is, of like generally what they're playing, so I know what to expect, especially when you have somebody with a deeper collection of songs.
Yes.
So you don't get disappointed.
Well, so over the weekend, went to a concert with someone who's been around for over a decade, maybe almost two decades, and a song that was a hit, like when we were in college, was on the set list. I was excited to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't perform it. So then I wouldn't have expected the song if I didn't look at the set list. Mm-hmm. But I look at the set list, now I'm expecting a song that I haven't heard live since it was a hit, and now I'm let down. I would never have had that letdown if I didn't go look for it.
You set yourself up for a little bit of disappointment.
Exactly, yeah.
But it becomes harder with bands who, you know, Dropkick Murphys are here this summer, and I'll always go see them, one of my favorites of all time. But as they've come out with more and more, well, especially now, they're missing the lead singer, best part of the band for the last couple of years. But as they come out with more and more stuff, that, you know, not all of it's a hit for me like it was 25 years ago.
Right.
It's the show is a little bit more hit and miss because it's not, you know, when I went to see him 20 years ago, every single song, you're like, yes, yeah. Yes, like awesome. Do it again. Like, this is great. This entire thing, front to back. Now, like, you have some ones like, you know, it wasn't my favorite. And now they're so old that you have the original, you know, going back two singers ago, is doing the first album front to back at shows with like a band that sometimes features some of the people who used to be in the band at like small clubs. And I'm like, oh, I got to go see that.
Does he tour under a different name?
Yeah, yeah. It's just like one-off shows every now and then.
Wow.
They'll do around their other band.
So they're on their third singer?
No.
Okay.
They're still technically on their second.
Okay.
He's still in the band. He's just not with the band.
Speaking of the, you know, going
it's like
back,
a Brian Wilson situation.
I was going to say, going back to the Beach Boys, because you have Mike Love touring as the Beach Boys. And then, as we talked about yesterday in North Tonawanda, you'll have Al Jardine, and they call themselves the Surf City All-Stars, where they sing Beach Boys songs because he can't take the name.
Yeah, which is real. You know, which would you rather? I don't know.
I think I'd rather Mike Love.
Do you have any, someone said Kiss Alive is the best live album.
It's a great album. So is Kiss Alive 2, by the way. They're both good.
That's it. It made the band.
Yeah.
I mean, the band was going to tank until the live album came out. Primary day roundup.
Yeah.
You know, as we're now a little further removed.
I'm just waiting to see if Chris Scanlon is he actually going to stay? I know he's got the line. Is he going to, he hasn't talked since primary night. Because
we haven't said, he hasn't talked since primary night. It has only been a day.
I know.
Like, if you don't hear from somebody for a day, are you like, we haven't heard from him?
Well, he is the mayor.
I don't hear from my mayor every day, nor do I want to. No offense.
But, you know, Garnell Whitfield said that he's no longer going to pursue the challenge and stay off the ballot. Because I think it makes an interesting situation, because you had James Gardner on yesterday, and he's running a campaign. Again, nothing against James Gardner. But if you go to the ballot box as a Republican or independent in Buffalo, and you have Chris Scanlon and James Gardner on the ballot, right, and Sean Ryan, where are you going with that vote? Because, and again, no offense to James Gardner. I think he's a great guy, but my vote would go to Chris Scanlon because he actually has a chance to win. You know what I mean? I think it'll make an interesting decision for independents, Republicans, and the 66,000 Democrats who didn't show up to the primary. I think it'll be an interesting where that decision lies. You know, if Chris Scanlon runs, he got 90% of South Buffalo in the primary. He'll get South Buffalo. Will it be enough?
I'm still, you know, fascinated by New York City. I'm still surprised that the report this morning that Cuomo's dropping out of the race. It's surprising to me. I thought he would stay on.
It means that Eric Adams does actually have a chance.
Maybe, yeah. I don't know. And so, I'm still stuck on this idea we talked about yesterday that we didn't have time to ask Carl about. I wish we did. Is it the message or the messenger? You know, there's so much that will, Mamdani's platform and like this, I'm a socialist type of thing. You know, obviously it plays into that, and I'll you know, go 180 in just a moment here. But I really do think that a lot of why he won is the messenger instead of the message itself. I think that so much of why he won is going out, meeting people, being available, having your face out there, seeming like a likable guy, talking, you know, having conversations with everybody you can, putting your face out there on social media. I think that matters as much as the message. Like, that matters to people. Like, I met him, do I like him? They might not even know what your platform is, but that overrides any political consideration you have for the tons of people that he met during the campaign, which again, Andrew Cuomo met the people who ran the debate, I guess. You know, I never saw him out in the street.
But can I just tell you, you look at how the votes were broken up, and low income people,
so
this plus 13 for Cuomo, higher income people, plus 13 for Mandani. And it, to me, shows...
Well, No, that's not entirely true. You have to break it down further than that to get an accurate picture.
Middle income, plus 10 for Mandani.
Yes. This is why... So, higher income...
went plus 13.
No. Like, what's higher? Because I have Cuomo among the top earners.
Let me get the chart. It's right here. So higher income individuals.
Or I'm looking at donations. Neighborhoods. Oh, you're. Looking at the vote.
I'm looking at vote. Okay. And by the vote, as all of New York who showed up to the primary, so less than a million people, Cuomo had plus 13 with lower income individuals.
Yes.
Mamdani had plus 13 with higher income individuals. My whole point to this was, I do think it shows in the Democratic Party, these are people who don't live the experiences that Mamdani is talking about. They're not going to go to the government grocery store.
I disagree. Because I think that needs to be broken down further. Because Cuomo, Mamdani, if you have an income between 75 and 200,000, that's okay. Where he beat Cuomo.
Those people are not going to a government-run grocery store. Is what I'm saying.
Like, yes, they are. In New York City, yes, they are.
No, they're...
No. Because Cuomo did better if, you know, 250 and up. Really high, which that's a high earner if you're in New York City. And he did better with people who were below 75, which is not a good level in New York City. Where Mamdani thrived is people who are probably college graduates, who probably have some student debt, who... can't afford to buy a place anywhere there, who can't qualify for any sort of low-income housing. They're in this, I mean, you hear people talk about it all the time, the benefit cliff. They've fallen off the benefit cliff, and they're not making enough. You know, you could say high earners. $200,000, $250,000 here is a high earner.
That's the middle income went plus 10 for Mamdani.
Yeah, that middle income is where, you know, as I said, I'll... go 180 in a moment. That's where I could see the message absolutely working, because that's where it's unaffordable.
But the higher income individuals did win by 13%. That's the whatever in plus. And that to me are people who are like, yeah, we're rich. We won't be affected. We're not going to go to the government grocery store, but hey, poor people, this is what is best for you. And I feel like that's what the higher people did when they went to the polls and voted for Mamdani.
The big part of that vote, like the middle income.
That's people. The middle income that went plus 10. I'm talking about two different sectors. Middle income plus 10, higher income plus 13.
See, I must be looking at different numbers because I have figures.
I just got these from the New York Times. I could be wrong. That screams people, and I know these people, they you know, they're in a different reality than you and I will ever know, and they're like, yeah, that sounds great for the poor people. And yeah, that's why they vote for Mamdani. I do agree, by the way. I agree with you. I think he was a better campaigner. He walked the streets of New York, right? He walked through the boroughs. He shook hands. He didn't take it as, hey, I'm so-and-so, you should vote for me like Andrew Cuomo did. I'm not disagreeing with a word you said. I'm just saying I think a lot of those voters in the higher class, because were like, hey, this is great for poor people.
But who's New York unaffordable for? Middle income.
And they went plus 10 for Mamdani, too.
Like, exactly. That's where I think it's the message.
Yes.
Fallout. All throughout the week, probably, here on WB. I mean, there's going to be something new every day that we're going to learn, and we'll see exactly what Andrew Cuomo says.
Which, by the way, I would have lost the bet. If you bet me any money, I would have said there's no way with his ego he drops out.
I would have agreed with you. I would not have taken your bet. David Bellavia is coming up next here on WBEN.